All right, so tonight, our minor character is a wooden ark. Sounds like a strange minor character, but let me ask this right at the beginning. How many Aronot were there in the Midbar? What would you say, everybody? How many Aronot?
Yo, no idea.
On, Marilyn, take a stab at it. How many Aron Kodesh are there?
How many Aron Kodesh are there
How many
then?
Aronot Kodesh were there in the Midbar?
Well, there was the Mishkan, the one in the Mishkan.
The one in the Mishkan. Okay. You know about
Yeah.
another one?
No.
Okay. So you're going to go with one.
There were two other Aronot, but they weren't Aronot Kodesh. They were the Aronot that contained the bones of Yaakov and Yosef.
Ah, okay. Interesting. That's true. They did have other Aronot that they were carrying with them. Very good. That's true. All right, well, let's see. In this week's parasha, in Perek Yud, so Moshe Rabbeinu is recapping basically the events of Har Sinai, which include going up the first time to get the first set of luchot, then the Chet Ha'Egel happening, coming down, smashing the luchot, then trying to pray and console the people for 40 days, and then going back up to get the luchot, the second set of luchot, and coming back down with them. Now, at the beginning over there, Moshe describes the beginning of the story in the following way. He says, "Ba'etahi, at that time, the Lord said to me, 'Carve for yourself two stone tablets like the first, and ascend to me to the mountain, and make for yourself a wooden ark.'" So this is actually in the middle of the story, right? This is right after the Chet Ha'Egel. Right after the Chet Ha'Egel, actually, it's right before Moshe goes up the second time. I'm sorry, it's Moshe right before Moshe goes up the second time. He says, "Psalach hashnei luchot karishonim." Avanim Karishonim, right? Make new ones like the first ones. And then he says, and make for yourself a wooden ark. And make for yourself a wooden ark. And I shall inscribe on the tablets the declarations that were on the first tablets that you shattered, and you shall place them in the ark. And then I'm going to write on these tablets, right? Hashem wrote on both tablets. It's just that he prepared the first ones, he carved them himself, and Moshe carved the second ones. And I made an ark of cedar wood, so Moshe says, and I made an ark of cedar wood, Atzei Shittim, and I carved two stone tablets like the first, and I ascended the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. Right? And he inscribed on the tablets.
Does this mean he made the ark before he ascended the mountain?
Excellent question. Couldn't have asked it better myself. What do you think?
Yes,
it seems to indicate that.
Yeah. It says it. I made an ark of cedar wood, and I carved two stone tablets like the first. And I ascended the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. Dad, why is that strange? Why is it worth pointing out that he did that?
But I have another question, even before that. If Chet Ha'Egel had not occurred and the tablets were not shattered,
Where
where
would
were they
they?
supposed to be put?
Good question. Excellent question. Another great question. But
Also,
Dad, why is it worth pointing out that he did it in this order?
another question is, they were in the Midbar. That means they had cedar trees in the Midbar?
That's true.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you explain building of the Mishkan? There's a lot of cedar trees. Yeah, they brought them with them somehow. There's a midrash that says that Yaakov planted them, or they brought them down to the Mitzrayim, or the Rabbi actually says that they bought them off the surrounding inhabitants, which is an interesting thing. But I thought you were going to point out that Hashem said to him, "Carve the two stone tablets and ascend to me, and then make for yourself a wooden ark." But then Moshe clearly makes the ark first, right?
Right.
Okay. And he inscribed on the tablets, according to the first writing, the 10 declarations that the Lord spoke to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire. He wrote the Asarat HaDibrot on the day of the congregation. The Lord gave them to me, and I turned and I ascended from the mountain, and I placed the tablets in the ark that I made, and they remained there as Hashem had commanded me. He comes down and he puts them into the ark. Okay. So let's just recap the questions that you asked first. Dad, you wondered in what order did he make the ark versus the tablets. Mom, you asked
What are they
what would
supposed
the
to do with
first
the
set of
animals?
tablets, where would the first set of tablets have gone? This is the second set of tablets. Apparently, he didn't have an ark yet. He didn't have an iron. So what was he going to do with the first ones? Okay. Any other questions? Any other questions? Clive, you have any questions?
Rani, I think regarding the answer to the first question was the
the Luchot HaRishonim were supposed to carry themselves because of the...
Okay. Any other questions that we want to ask on this Keta? Well, I guess the question that bothers me the most is, who made the Aron Kodesh in the Mishkan?
Supposedly
Bezalel.
And
Bezalel made it himself. Bezalel is one of the things that he made himself. So is this Aron that Moshe says that he puts the two Luchot HaBrit into, is this that same Aron or is it a different Aron?
The Aron Kodesh that was made by Bezalel,
yeah,
was wood with gold on the outside and on the inside.
Okay.
It is within reason that this is the wooden ark that Moshe made, and Bezalel coated on the inside and on the outside.
Very interesting. Keep in mind that what you're saying is that Bezalel, in fact, did not make the Aron. He only made the gold plating on the inside and on the outside. That's what you're suggesting.
Possibly.
And I would say there was a box within a box.
Well, there was a box within, I mean, in the regular Aron Kodesh, like we were saying, it was gold with gold.
Okay, but more than that, that the box that Moshe made went into that which Bezalel made.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I'm like a matryoshka doll. Okay. There was a box with the... Okay, fine. All right. So let's see. We're going to see three different positions on how many Aronot there were. So as you can see, the first position is going to be two boxes. So whose position is that? That is the position of Rashi himself. Rashi says on this pasuk, at the end of 40 days, he was reconciled with me, right? Ba'etahi, after Hashem forgave Bnei Israel and me, psalacha, right? Make me these two tablets. And then it says, vasita lacha aron eitz. The order is supposed to be make the tablets and then make the aron. But I, however, made the ark first. Moshe said, why? Because when I came with the tablets in my hand, where would I place them? If I didn't make them first, if I didn't make the Aron first, what would I do with them? Does this remind anybody of anything? Of a different midrash or a different conversation? Mm-hmm. So the truth is the midrash says that this conversation took place between Moshe and Bezalel. Moshe gave the order to Bezalel to first make the kelim of the Mishkan and then to make the outer edifice of the Mishkan. Okay? And what did Bezalel say to Moshe?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make any sense. You don't buy a dishwasher first and then, you know, and then go looking for a house to rent. No, you rent the house, you build the house first, and then you buy the things that you're going to put in. Because if you buy the dishwasher first, where are you going to put it? You're going to put it on the street until you find a house? No. You first build the outside, and then you build the kelim. And Moshe at that time said to Bezalel, you know, the truth is that's what Hashem said too. But I switched the order because I thought it made more sense to make the kelim. I thought the kelim were more important than the Mishkan itself. But you're right. Bezalel kel hayita. You were in the shadow of God. You know what you're talking about. But over here, Moshe does the exact same thing. Hashem tells him, you should make the tablets first and then make the Aron. And Moshe switches the order. So the truth is that Rabbanel picks up on this. Now Rabbanel explains and says, no, Hashem didn't give him the order of what he was supposed to do. Hashem simply said, the point over here is to make the tablets. That's the point. But you also need to make the Aron Kodesh for it. So he told him, make the tablets, and then, you know, you also have to make the Aron. He wasn't giving him an order of how to proceed. But Moshe had to actually implement it. So Moshe said, it makes sense that if you're going to do it in order, you have to make the Aron first, and then I'm going to go get the tablets, and then I'm going to have something to put the tablets into. So for the Rabbanel, he's saying that Hashem gave it in order of importance, whereas Moshe did it in order of implementation.
But the other point that I would think you could make was, until Moshe actually inscribed the tablets, they were just that, two tablets of stone. But they were not... They didn't have their own intrinsic kedusha.
Fair enough. Okay, so anyways, continuing with Rashi, this is the important part. Now, this was not the ark which Bezalel made for the tabernacle. Because with the tabernacle, they did not occupy themselves until after the Day of Atonement. Rashi gives a technical reason why this can't be the Aron Kodesh, because the Aron Kodesh didn't get ordered even until after Yom Kippur, which is the day that Moshe came down with the second set of Luchot. That's when he gives that mitzvah, according to Rashi. For only when he came down from the mountain on that day did he give the command regarding the construction of the tabernacle. And Bezalel made the tabernacle first, and afterwards the ark and the other articles. In other words, the Aron Kodesh was definitely not ready at this point. The regular Aron Kodesh, the Aron Kodesh from the Mishkan, was definitely not ready by the time that Moshe came down from the mountain. It follows, therefore, that this was another ark. Now, the question now becomes, what happened to that ark? What happened to that Aron Kodesh? Did it get discarded once Bezalel made a better ark? So Rashi says, and it was this that went forth with them to battle, whilst that which Bezalel made went forth to battle only once in the days of Eli, and they were punished for this, for it was captured by the Plishtim. In other words, Rashi says this was a functional Aron Kodesh, which they would use. They would take it out to battle, right? And it would be kind of like a, I don't want to say a good luck charm. It's not a good luck charm, but it's some kind of symbol for them when they went out to battle. And it was this Aron, the one that Moshe made, that they took with them, except for one time when they took the wrong one. They took the real proper Aron Kodesh. And then when they did that, it actually got captured by the Plishtim. We know it took a while for them to get it back. Mm-hmm. That's when David, when they finally got it back, that's when David was dancing in front of it. But basically, according to Rashi, there were two boxes throughout the Midbar and even after. They kept this box. And Rashi says elsewhere as well, this is Rashi Shita all over, up and down Chumash. What did they keep in there? The broken Luchot HaBrit. That's what they kept in there. Okay? It would go in front of them 3 days. Whenever they traveled in the Midbar, this Aron HaKodesh would go in front of them 3 days with the Shivrei Luchot in them. Now, with regards to what my mother asked, the Or Chaim HaKadosh says, what's the deal with the fact that there was no Aron ready for the first set of Luchot? So the Or Chaim HaKadosh says, L'tzad shem ma'asei yadi adam tzuchin makom muchan lihinaten bo ma shelo tziva Hashem ken la'asot Aron la'luchot ha'rishonim. Said, because the second set of Luchot were carved by Moshe, they needed a physical man-made structure in order to house them. Unlike Clive, unlike the first Luchot, which were special because Vatam kihem omdin batzman veloyu tzuchin Aron levad me Aron shasa betzalel, because the first set of Luchot would stand on their own; they would float in the air, and they didn't need an Aron except the one that Bezalel was going to make, which was just going to house them, but it wasn't going to carry them. This second set of Luchot needed to be carried. The reason why you need to make an Aron is because you're the one making the Luchot. The first set of Luchot were carved and inscribed by God, and therefore they're special. They don't need an Aron to carry them. They'll carry themselves. But the second set of Luchot were created by man, and therefore they need to be carried by a man-made object. That's what the Aron Chaim HaKadosh explains. Now, to finish off this Shita a little bit, we have the Ramban. The Ramban says, we're actually going to see two positions according to the Ramban. But the first position that he gives is similar to Rashi, but slightly different. Ramban says, Vasita lecha Aron eitz, shatasim aluchot betocho be'eitz shetered. Hashem said, make an Aron so you can put the luchot in there. But this Aron is going to be completely wood and has a regular kisui. And the luchot would stay there until the Mishkan was constructed along with the Aron Kodesh. And then what happened? They disposed of this Aron Kodesh and used only the Aron Kodesh that Bezalel made. Okay?
From the language of the Ramban, when he says, Tasim ha'luchot betocho va'etash sheteired.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, did Moshe bring the Aron up the mountain with him?
No.
Put the luchot in, or did he leave the Aron and left it down below and then went up to the figure of the
Luchot. Right. Now, the Ramban is a different answer to the question that the Arachayim wonders, which is why didn't they need it for the first Luchot? He says, a little more of a depressing answer. Lefi shaya galui lefanav sheyishabrim. What does that mean? According to Ramban, why was there no Aron Kodesh for the first set of Luchot?
Because it was clear
because that Moshe knew in advance they were going to
be broken. Well, because Hashem knew in advance that it was good that the Luchot were going to be broken. Now, this obviously creates all kinds of problems in terms of, you know, in terms of free will, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if Hashem knew we were going to sin, so then why did he not warn us or something like that? Why didn't he prevent it in some way? That's not Hashem's business to prevent us from doing any sins. When we've learned the Archaim HaKadosh in the past, we know that he has a whole shita about this. Hashem doesn't prevent sins. He doesn't even see them. He doesn't anticipate them on purpose. A very hard shita. But in general, Hashem doesn't prevent us from doing sins. That's one way of dealing with this. Another way of dealing with this is saying, no, sometimes, and this is obviously, you know, a thorny philosophical, theological idea. Sometimes Hashem allows us to sin because it's a process that we have to go through. You know, like similar to a father or a parent may occasionally allow a child to fail or get hurt even because the child needs to learn that this thing, you know, is dangerous. You know, under some kind of controlled circumstance, the parent may allow a child to get hurt. So the child learns that that causes pain. So over here, it could be that Hashem said, okay, we're going to allow this because I think this is a process that you need to go through. So one of those two positions is what Ramban is talking about over here. And that's what Ramban thinks. Ramban thinks that the Aron, the first Aron was used only as a temporary holding cell, literally, for the Luchot HaBrit, and then it was disposed of. How do I know that he thinks it was disposed of? Because he quotes Rashi, and he rejects Rashi. Rashi says, oh, they had two Aronot throughout the Midbar and afterwards, and they used one for Milchamot and one for housing, you know, the rest of the things, the Luchot, the second set of Luchot and the Sefer Torah. And Ramban says, no, that doesn't fit. That's the Divrei Yachid. That's only one small minor position in the Talmud, but in the majority position, Da'at Rabbeinu b'kol makom b'Talmud, eino kein ela Luchot v'shivrei Luchot munachim ba'aron. According to Ramban, the majority position of the Gemara is that everything, the Luchot and the Shivrei Luchot and the Sefer Torah that Moshe was writing were at all times put in the Aron Kodesh of Bitzalel. And there was only ever one Aron Kodesh. And Ramban has a bunch of questions on Rashi, including, you guys, for example, you know, where did they keep the second Aron, or the first? Where did they keep the first Aron? Where did they keep the wooden Aron? The Aron 8. There's nowhere to put it. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the Farshim say, yeah, no, they kept it in Ol Moed or in Moshe's tent. They had a place. It's not a big deal. They find a place to put the Aron Eitz. It's not such a big, such a big question. But according to Ramban, there was but there were two Aronot for a short period of time. But then the second one, or the first one rather, was gotten rid of, and they kept only the one of Bitzalel. I put over here the Amikdavar just to make the following point that he also is assuming that there were two Aronot. Maybe I should move this up, actually. He also believes that the two Aronot, but he points out that the difference is that the second one was made of gold and the first one was made of eights. And the one that was made of eights was the one that Hashem told Moshe to make when he went up to Har Sinai, because he was trying to send him a message. What message was he trying to send him? He's trying to send him a message that, you know, the first set of Luchot, that was going to be easy. That was like easy life. Everything was going to be so easy for you. But now you have to make a wooden Aron to carry it, to teach you about the Amal Torah, to teach you about the difficulty of learning Torah. It has to be an Aron 8, none of this gold stuff. Eventually there was going to be gold, but the Aron that Hashem told Moshe to build was going to be an Aron 8 because it had to be something that was a little bit rougher around the edges.
I have to note also that there were no dimensions given for this Aron. No. Build a wooden box. Nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no indication of the size.
Not important. Right. Okay, so that's the two box theory. Then we have the one box theory. And there are two ways of doing the one box theory. Okay? One way is the second pshat in Ramban. Ramban says, al derech ha-pshat. He says, if we ignore all the Midrashim say there were two Aronot. He says, I acknowledge that. But if we ignore all of that, al derech ha-pshat, we could say that when it says, Vasita l'charon eitz, yirmoz la'aron shatza b'tzalel. Hashem was talking about the Aron that Batzalel would make. You have to understand, according to Ramban, this business of not having a tzivui of building a mishkan until after Moshe came down on Yom Kippur is narishkeit. It's not true. According to Ramban, Moshe was given this tzivui when he went up to the Har Sinai the first time. Truma and Tetzaveh, where we get the mitzvot of building the Mishkan and all of the kelim in the Mishkan, is before Parshat Kitisa, when the Chet Eikel happens. Rashi will say, Ein mukdam u'uchar b'Torah. You have to move it. But Ramban says, no, you never say that unless you have to. And you don't have to. Moshe was, in fact, given all of these tzivuyim. The first time that he went up, he knew that there was going to be a Mishkan. He knew there was going to be Kelim. He knew all of that. And so when he came down the first time, he was told by Hashem, now is the time to start working on that Aron that's eventually going to be the Aron Kodesh. This was always the only Aron Kodesh. And he says, and the reason why it's important is because the Aron Kodesh is the primary implement in the Mishkan. It houses the Luchot HaBrit and the Sefer Torah. And he says, Ki ikar kavana b'kol mishkan liyot Hashem yoshev hakurvim v'acharei chen asu ot ha'egel v'chashen nitratze Hashem lo Moshe v'amar le shirichtov al luchot ha'ilu kimichtav rishon tzivah b'ktzara. He gave him a shortened version of the tzivui shi'asa lo luchot ha'ila Aaron 8. Hi ha'mitzvah lo luchot ha'rishonim v'hine izkir lo ha'mitzvah rishona sh'b'inyan ha'mishkan v'hakol talui ba. So the point is, the reason why Hashem mentioned the Aron was to tell him, yes, originally we were going to build a Mishkan, and you might think that now that Bnei Yisrael did the Chet Ha'egel, what's going to happen? Game over. Game over. I'll take you to Israel. I'll sweep away all the bad guys, and then I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm out. You can go on your merry way. I fulfilled my end of the deal. That's what could have happened. But Hashem said, no. I'm letting you know that now that you've gotten Maslicha Ukapara, now it's time to come up for the second Luchot. You should just know we're going to the original plan. The original plan was the Mishkan. We're going to keep with that. How did he tell that to Moshe? He said, start building the Mishkan right now by building the Aron HaKodesh. You're going to start building the Aron HaKodesh, and that's going to be it. So according to this Ramban, the second Shita, there was only one box. Only one box. The Malbim, interestingly, suggests what I think my father suggested before, which is he says, you made an Aron HaTzeshitim. Va'efen va'ered min ha'ar v'asim betu luchot, sh'az iniach l'sham gam luchot ha'shniyim. You put both sets of luchot in there. Va'yusham bi'arti v'parashat shuma ki zeha Aron nishar l'darot. This Aron was the forever Aron. Aye, but Bitalel made an Aron with gold on the inside and the outside. That's it. Asao Moshe kimida shamar le Hashem. Moshe, in fact, did it according to the measurements that Hashem would eventually give. La'asot b'mishkan rak achar kach tikneu b'tzalel b'mashahotzi v'lav shnei aronot zahav v'kaporet v'akurvim. There you go. V'chavein to the Malbim. The Malbim says there was only ever one box. It's just that after Moshe finished that box, after you put the luchot in, you know what happened? B'tzalel came and he made a nice golden cover on the inside and on the outside. And he added a kaporet on top. This is different than the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't say quite like this. But the Malbim is very nice. He's saying that it was really only the same Aron, just adjusted afterwards. Rabbi Golden writes about this in his book, and he says, what happened over here, the reason why Hashem mentions this now, as Moshe is coming up for the second Luchot, is that Hashem is altering the details concerning the tablets of testimony. God will inscribe his decrees upon the second set, but this time only on stone carved by Moshe. The tablets thus represent the word of God finding a home in the actions of a man. To further convey this point concretely, God also commands that these new tablets be immediately placed into a physical home. Moshe's Aron Eitz. the first set of tablets, there was no context given for them. Bnei Yisrael had no holding place for them. Yes, they were going to float, but they were going to float on their own. And the lesson that Bnei Yisrael learned was that that won't work. It won't work to have the tablets just floating out in the air, and we all have to go reach them. No. We need a framework. We need a place to put those tablets. We need to make plans in order to be able to keep the mitzvot. When the Torah has a context inside of the Jewish people, inside of our society, our community, then the Torah can be kept. It can't be just something that's, you know, sits on a shelf somewhere, and that when you want to get engaged with it, you just go spontaneously get engaged with it. No. You need to create a framework, a community, a whole way of life in which the Torah finds roots. And that's what the box represents.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, is there a three-box theory? So now we're going to go out there. So the Sifri that everybody quotes says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, that's Reish Lakish. That's not Reish Lakish. This is Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, a different Lakish boy. Omer ani shnei aronot hayu. He says there were two aronot. Echad sheyotzei mehen lamilchama. This is the basis of Rashi. V'echad shesharoi mehen b'machaneh. Zeh sheyotzei mehen lamilchama. Haya bo sefer Torah. Shneemar v'aron b'it Hashem nosei lifneihem. V'zeh sheyotzei mehen b'machaneh. Zeh shehaya bo shivrei luchot. Okay, so there was one Aaron that went with them to the war that had the Sefer Torah, and there was one that stayed home that had within the Shivrei Luchot. Okay, then there's a Tosefta. This is a separate source. Same Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Shnei Aaron tayu, echad sheyotzei mehen lamilchama, ve'echad sheyotzei mehen b'machaneh. Zeh sheyotzei mehen lamilchama, haya bo Sefer Torah. Shneemar, v'aron b'it Hashem nosei lifneihem. Okay, you have these two sources. The Netziv, it has a commentary on the Sifri. And look what he says. He says, "Mimele lamadnu, dezeh ha'aron shalach lifnehem b'shat masaot, hayagam ken aron deshevrei luchot." The aron that traveled with them was the aron that carried the shevrei luchot. Ken data Sifri. And he says this was the Aaron that also sat with them in, you know, when they encamped. Aval, bebraita de malachat haMishkan, perek vav. This I don't have a source for this. This is what he's quoting. Braita malachat haMishkan. It says Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, shnei aronot hayu. And then he says one sat in the machane and one of them went out with them to war. And then and that's what it says in the Tosefta and Sota that we saw. Here. It says it looks like there's a machloket. In the way that he quotes the sources, he says it looks like there's a machloket. There's some sources that say that the one with the Shivrei Luchot went out, and some sources that say that the one with the Sefer Torah went out. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, shayu shnei aronot levad shayasa betzalel. How come nobody mentioned this? Did anybody notice anything about this Tosefta and the Sifri? What do they both say? Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says that there were two aronot. What was in the one that went out with them to war?
Stayed.
The Shivrei Luchot, the Sefer Torah, sorry. What was in the one that stayed with them in the Machaneh? The Shivrei Luchot. But wait a second. There's one thing unaccounted for here. What is it?
The actual Luchot.
The Luchot Abrit, the Shnei Luchot Abrit that Moshe came down with. Where were they? Now we know where they were. Where were they?
In
the Kodesh Kadashim, in Bezalel's Aaron. So the Netziv claims that there were actually three boxes. There was one box that Aaron Kodesh Bezalel made that housed the Luchot Shniot, the full Luchot. There was one box that housed the Shivrei Luchot, which were not in the same box. That stayed in the Machaneh, according to this version of the Midrash. And then there was another box that housed a Sefer Torah that went with them whenever they went out to fight a war. Three boxes. according to the Netziv, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Now, he doesn't explain, but I was wondering, what do we need three boxes for?
Rav Dani, but were the Sifrei Torah written then? They weren't Sifrei Torah written then.
The Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote was definitely written. And you're asking a good question, and the Netziv goes into this, and he says that if you assume, there's actually a machloket in Gittin, is the Sefer Torah Megillah Nitna or Chatuma Nitna? When was it? Was it written in intervals as they went through the Midbar? And it was just, you know, it was constantly being written into, or was it written only at the end? And Moshe had like notes the whole time, and then he just kind of wrote the whole thing all at once at the end. But either way, the truth is, there was always a Sefer Torah at some point. There was always going to be a Sefer Torah. And the question was, where was that Sefer Torah? And the Netziv is claiming that at least according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, they took it out with them every time they went to fight a war in the box.
In a way that makes more sense. Because it's the Torah that you take with you that you have in front of you all the time when you're fighting that kind of gives you the impetus rather than the broken luchot or just the two luchot that Moshe together with Hashem made.
Right. So I was thinking, does anybody else have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we learn about the Sefer Torah going out to war in Sotah, right, with the Kohen Mashiach Milchama
took
the Torah. But that, I've never heard that was in a box. I always thought that he just took the Sefer Torah as a Sefer Torah.
Well, I mean, you can imagine, you know, what did he do, wrap it up in a talus?
Yeah, something like that.
So somebody donated a box. Somebody said, this is a Shanda that we're carrying it around in a talus. Somebody donated a nice box. Moshe built a nice box. And they carried it out in the box. And apparently this was an important box.
Rav Dani, when was the second Torah? When is it stated that the second Torah was ever written?
Well, actually, the Midrash states that Moshe wrote 13 Sifri Torah before he died.
For all the Shvatim?
Yeah.
But when did he start making the others after the first one?
At the end of his life. Like in the end, all the way at the end. I think the Gemara says he wrote them all on the last day, but obviously that could be an exaggeration. So I was thinking that perhaps there's a symbolism here. In other words, you have three artifacts. We have a Sefer Torah, we have the Shivrei Luchot, and we have the Luchot Abrit. And according to the Netziv, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, we keep them in three separate boxes because they each need their own Kavod, right? They each perform their own function. You have a Sefer Torah that you carry out with you because this is our way of engaging with the world. Yes, we carry us out to war, but the same token, you know, we may carry it out with us all the time, right? They say that the Melech has to have two Sefer Torah, one that he keeps at home and one that he takes with him out into the world. This is our way, our guidepost for engaging with the world. It needs to be flexible. It needs to be, you know, something that you can open up and read and use. Right, so that's the Sefer Torah. Then you have the Shivrei Luchot that need to be in a box because people need to be kept humble. We need to remember that we make mistakes. We make bad mistakes. And we need to learn from those mistakes. And we need to remember that Hashem forgives us even though we make those mistakes. Coming up on Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shivrei Luchot is you know a symbol of so many important things. I remember hearing Rabbi Mark Penner from YU. So he gave a whole shiur about the Shivrei Luchot representing people at the end of their lives when they're, you know, so to speak, a shell of their former selves. You know, what so tragically happens to people at the end of their lives is that, you know, they all kinds of mental problems or physical problems and their kids have trouble remembering what they used to be like. And it's a tragic circumstance, but he says, but you know, these used to be luchot abrit. These used to be, you know, strong luchot. You know, it's a message to us that it can happen to anybody, and it does happen to anybody. And we need to maintain our respect for people, even when they are in that state of a shivrei luchot. So that represents that. But then in the Aron HaKodesh, we have the luchot abrit themselves, which is what we aspire to. Which is we remember that there was a time when we mamash were standing at Har Sinai and were worthy of the Torah, and we're worthy of a Gilui Shechina. And that sits at the center, right in the Kodesh Kodashim. When people need to be inspired, they go there to experience Har Sinai. With the Kurvim on top, with the shining Kurvim that represent, according to Ramban, the experience of the fire of Har Sinai, where Hashem's word is captured by those two antenna and can be transmitted to Bnei Israel. That's a place that we go for inspiration. That's the original Luchot HaBrit. And I think that's why we have three boxes to represent those three different messages that each get their own space. Because if you put them all in the same place, maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is worried that, they'll all get overshadowed by the regular Luchot HaBrit. Because it would seem to be the Ikar. And so by placing them in three different boxes, perhaps we're saying that each one needs to be recognized, discussed, and contemplated. All that being said, just to recap, why don't we go backwards? We learned about this interesting shita of the three boxes, which I can only find in the Netziv. I couldn't find anybody else who suggested this. Then we learned about the one box, which according to Ramban is al pi pshat, right? We only find one box in the Torah. So perhaps this is the same box. This is the same box that Bezalel will eventually build. Either it's just told Bekitzer over here, or this is an actual box that Moshe constructed, but according to the Malbim, it was added on to by Bezalel later on with the gold. But the most mainstream and prevalent shita is that of Rashi, which seems to accord with the Midrashim, that there are actually two boxes. It was one box that Moshe made, which was eventually used to go to war. And there was another box that Bezalel made, and they kept the Luchot, and possibly the Shuvei Luchot, in that as well. Okay? Shakoch, everybody. Thank you for joining.
Yeah.